If you have your Bibles there, page 876. Page 876. You know, sometimes we think the scriptures are very complicated and there's so many things that we don't understand. Some of it's very simple and it's quite easy to understand. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 35, says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And that passage kind of got in my heart and some other hearts about sharing God's word specifically into prison. And over the last 10 or 11 years, we've been blessed in so many ways. Many in this room have ministered with us into prisons. Thousands and thousands of people have been able to hear that God loves them and God has a plan for their life. Hundreds and hundreds of services we've been able to be a part of and share the gospel in group setting, one-on-one. Some in this room have gone many, many, many nights, and some who are in heaven now have gone with them many, many nights into administrative segregation or what we would call solitary confinement to share Christ one-on-one to those in prison. We've been able to give Bibles to thousands and thousands of those there. Bobby was able to lead an addiction recovery class out in Dayton. It was such a blessing. There's been women's weekday Bible studies. We've been able to give bags with essential items to ladies the day they first get to prison. That on the outside of the bag says, "Jesus loves you." And on the inside of the bag, along with the essential items that they need, there's a gospel tract telling them how they can accept Christ as their Savior. You know, I've been so blessed to be able to be in the prisons and work with the chaplains and the people there in the prison to share God's word and his message of love, his message of hope, his message of grace, and his message of redemption. You know, sometimes in our world, we can take that for granted, but there's so many that really don't know that while they were still sinners, Jesus died for them, that he loved them, God loved them so much that he sent his own son to die for them. And today, I just wanted to share with you a few things that God has taught me through the years into prison, and then share a few ways that maybe you can get involved with some things that God's doing. You know, the first thing that God has, I suppose I already knew it, but that I've seen over and over, is God's word has power. You know, this word, this book has power. We should be in God's word every day. It's powerful. In Hebrews it says, "For the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." I've seen God's word, the power of God's word, touch people's lives from all different backgrounds, all different circumstances and situations. And you know what I've seen is when this book, when God's word gets in someone and they get a touch from God, it makes all the difference in the world. In 2 Corinthians, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. And all things become new." You know, we don't have to be in prison for some old things to need to pass away. I know we look real holy here today, but I imagine in this room, there's some old things that need to pass away. I know in my life, there's some old things that need to pass away, and we need to see all things become new. You know, as you think about sharing Christ with others, sometimes you think, well, if I don't do it, someone else will. You know, in Romans chapter 10, it says, "How will people call on him whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him if they have not heard? And how will they hear without a messenger?" You know, God put us on this earth to share Jesus Christ with others. And so many times we can think, well, that's maybe what the pastor will do or the church staff will do or the evangelist will do, but that's the most important reason God put any of us on this earth is to share Christ with others. So not only did I learn in a new way that God's word has power, I learned in a new way that God loves us all and he has a plan for all of our lives. Romans 5, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad that God doesn't just love us when we do good? Thank you, Bobby. You can participate. The prisons are a little participative in the message. So, but you know, God's not mad at us when we mess up. God's not surprised when we messed up. God doesn't love us on our good days and not love us on our bad days. We have to remember and we have to share with others, while we were still sinners, God sent his own son to die for our sins. You know, when you're in settings like prison or in addiction recovery or in just different meetings and you're able to share with people, like it says over in Jeremiah, that God has a future for us that's full of good things, a future for us that's full of hope. There's so many among us that don't really have any hope. There's so many among us that think that whatever it is that they have done, God couldn't possibly have a good plan for our lives. That's not true. God has a good plan for all of our lives. God has a future for us that's full of hope. Sharing God's word, though, is just planting the seed. It's planting the seed. We just share God's word over and over. We don't need to be concerned with the outcome. Leave that to God. Share his word. It's real simple. I don't have a seminary degree. You don't have to have any education. Just share what God's done in your life. Share it with others. It'll be the best blessing that you've ever had. You know, as you share God's word, you're planting seeds. As you pray for those that you share God's word with, you're watering those seeds. And if you keep planting seeds and if you keep watering seeds, there'll be a harvest one day. You won't see it all, but that's okay. Leave that to God. You know, the third thing that I've learned in these years is that I need to share God's word with love, not with judgment. In Matthew, it says, judge not that you not be judged. You know, we all come from different backgrounds. We all have different issues. We all have different weaknesses. We all have different tendencies. We all have different propensities. You know, we all have our own issues. It's so easy that even subconsciously that we judge others that struggle maybe with some things that we don't struggle with. We all have one need in common, and that's the forgiveness of our sins. We all have lived sinful lives, and we all need the blood of Jesus to save us and then to forgive us for our sins. You know, that isn't much different whether you're in prison or wherever you are. You know, one thing I've learned from being in the prison is if I had come from the same background and circumstances that some there have come from, I think I would have made worse choices than they would have made. I think I would have probably ended up doing worse. So before I judge, all I need to do is share God's word with love. That's what Jesus modeled to us, was to share his word with love. Another thing that I've learned through these years is failure is not final. You know, the devil wants to tell us that because of what we've done or been through or messed up on, that's it. But failure is not final. Over in Acts 4, you should read this passage this week and mark it. Acts 4:33 says, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And then I love the next part. It says, and great grace was upon them all. You know, God wants to put great grace in our lives. God wants to put great grace over our failures. After we have experienced the power of his resurrection. You know, Christians are kind of the only, one of the few groups that kind of try and kill each other off. Have you ever noticed that? Let somebody mess up. And oh my goodness, watch that Christian group. Can you believe what they did? But we need to experience God's great grace. That doesn't make light of sin. Sin's not okay. But it makes bigger of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. See, mistakes are the price we pay for a full life if we learn from those mistakes. See, mistakes can become prisons for all of us, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. But God wants to make those mistakes become a pathway for a great revelation of his grace. God will never define us by our mistakes. Never. Other people will, but God will never define us by our mistakes. He will never define you by the worst moment in your life and the worst decision you've ever made. Mistakes have consequences. There's no doubt about that. But mistakes do not define our future. When God sees our future, he doesn't look at our past. The devil always wants to remind us of our past, but God has a future for us that's full of hope and is full of good things. You know, if you think in the Bible, Adam made a mistake. Prior to Adam, there was only one being that had made a mistake in life. Lucifer had made a mistake. Lucifer didn't get a second chance. But you know, when Adam made that mistake, when Adam and Eve made that mistake, God said, now I can show you another side of me that you wouldn't have seen had you not made that mistake. Did God want them to make that mistake? No, he didn't. But because he's a God of mercy, he got to show Adam and Eve another side of himself that they would have not seen had they not made that mistake. See, we've all made mistakes, but none of us are mistakes. Because God has great grace for great mistakes. You know, those are just a few of the things that I've learned over these years that I wanted to share with you about what God has taught me and what I've seen the power of his word do in the lives of others. Whether it's prison ministry, whether it's addiction recovery, whether it's homelessness, whether it's human trafficking, or many, many other needs. I'm so excited that God is open. He already has opened, but he's opening many new doors for us to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. Here at the church, we've been able to expand support for a lot of local ministries that are out there every day meeting needs. Needs that we don't much think about, but day in and day out, meeting needs with the love of Christ. God has also opened doors for us in partnering with an organization called the Dream Center in Los Angeles. Some of you may be familiar with that. Matthew Barnett, if you're able, Matthew Barnett founded the Dream Center some 20 years ago. He'll be speaking in the morning services over in the Worship Center on June the 3rd. At 9:30 and 11, you would be blessed to hear him. It's a fabulous ministry. They house over 750 people 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, at no expense to those that they're helping. It is a fabulous, fabulous organization. While we've been partnering with them for some time in Los Angeles and supporting what they do there, God is opening doors in our area to launch additional ministries to help people. You know, there's just so many needs. There's a lot of people doing a lot of things to meet those needs, but the needs are enormous. So I just wanted to share with you a few ways that you could help as you consider what you could do to help others. Number one is pray. Add these ministries to your prayer list. Pray for those in prison. Pray for those who go to minister to those in prison. Pray for those who lead addiction recovery groups. Pray for those who help the homeless. Pray. Just add that to your daily prayer life. It's so easy to go about our lives day by day by day. And not, number one, pray for those in need. We get so busy and so caught up with everything that's going on with us, it's so easy to not stop and pray for those in need. And it's also easy to not stop and give thanks to God for his goodness in our lives. So pray. Put that in your prayer list if you would. Another thing you can do is support. There's a ministry here at the church by the name of Beyond These Walls. Peace by Believing is a ministry that was started just to work in the prisons initially. Both of those ministries, 100% of anything given, goes directly to those in need. Pray if God would lead you to contribute and to support that. You know, we're very careful to make sure not only to meet physical needs. We want to meet those physical needs. We want to provide clothing. We want to provide shelter. We want to provide food. We want to meet other basic needs. But what a shame it would be is if we met those needs, those physical needs, but didn't take the time to share with them what the greatest need is, which is a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this isn't a giveaway program. That which is given is just an opportunity to share Christ with those. Third thing you can do is get involved. You know, one thing I've learned is sharing Christ isn't as hard as you think. God will bless your efforts. May not be how you plan it, but he'll bless your efforts. One of the things Jody and I felt led to do coming into this new year is to make some life goals. Have any of y'all ever done that? No one? Well, good. Some of you should think about it. I'll share with you a few of my life goals. I'll share a few of the less eternally impactful goals first. One goal was to ride horseback from Vail to Aspen, Colorado with my family. That's a goal. Y'all could come join us. One goal to Charlie Joe, our daughter, is back in the back to take her to the top of the Eiffel Tower. It's a goal I have. Joel Jr.'s back in the back. Want to take him to a Super Bowl. It's on the list. Feel free, give me tickets. I'll be able to mark that off my list. Another one of my goals, run with the Bulls in Spain. Jody said, no way Joel Jr.'s going on that one. It's all me. It's on the list. Another goal, run a marathon in Antarctica. Want to do that. Y'all are welcome to join me on that. Another goal I had was to at least one time see my brother pay for his own meal. That, I don't think that one's getting marked off the list. No, then as there were some more serious goals that God put on my heart. One goal was to share Christ in a group setting in all 50 states. God put that on my heart. Share Christ in a group setting on all 7 continents. I don't think the devil put that on my heart. I don't have a lot of demand in other continents at this point, but, you know, God put that on my heart. So as we reflect on things like that, it's amazing what God will put on your heart, you know. And then I didn't want to just have all life goals, because then it can tend to kind of get pushed off into the future. I said, I need some goals for this year. One of the goals I put down for this year was, this is simple, share Christ one-on-one with one person. 365 days, share Christ one-on-one with one person. Put that. That was number one goal on my 2018 goals. As I was trying to be more intentional about that, to follow what God has for us. See, for me, it's easier to share in group settings than it is sometimes to share one-on-one what God's done in our lives. That's been on my list for about 45 days now. 2 Sundays ago, tell you how this works when we get serious about sharing Christ. 2 Sundays ago, I was out in Dayton, services at a prison, a couple hundred people there. Somewhere around about 10:30, as we always do at the end of a service, we gave people the opportunity to accept Jesus as their Savior, explained the plan of salvation, told them how Jesus Christ could come in and be Lord of their life. That really wasn't getting me any closer to sharing Christ one-on-one with someone this year. About that same time, around 10:30 over in the worship center, Dad was extending the same invitation. Anyone there that would need to accept Christ as their Savior, he laid out the plan of salvation, told him how he could do that. Little did I know, same time I was extending that invitation to those there in Dayton, our daughter tapped Jody on the arm and said, I want to talk with Dad when I get home. I want Jesus to come in and be Lord of my life. So about noon that day, I was able to sit down with her at home, share Christ one-on-one, tell her Jesus died for her sins. He has a plan for her life. He wants to be the Lord of her life, wants to save her, forgive her of her sins, and make her a Christian. But, you know, we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional. I didn't have any idea when I started making goals that I was going to be able to share Christ with our own daughter. But you know what? We don't know how it'll end up. But I do know this. If we don't have any plan and we don't have any focus on sharing Christ, it'll never happen. But what I'm seeing is the more of a focus we do have on sharing Christ, the more opportunities that He'll put in our path. In closing today, I read recently Peter Marshall. Some of you may be familiar. He was the former chaplain of the United States Senate. He said, I wonder what would happen if we all agreed to read one of the Gospels until we came to a place that told us to do something, then went out to do it, and only after we had done it began reading again. You know, as I thought on that, I can tell you exactly what would happen. His kingdom would come, and His will would be done on earth just as it is in heaven, because that's what happens when we become hearers, when we not only are hearers of the word, we become doers of the word. Let us pray. God, I thank you for each person who's here today. God, I don't have any idea what situations are going on here today in people's lives, God, but I know that you know. God, I just pray that every person in this room, God, would know that you love them so much you sent your own son to die for their sins. God, just remind us of that. God, remind us that you have a plan for our life, that you're not mad at us. God, just help us as we go throughout our day, God, just to, even if we're not witnessing, Lord, just to have a spirit of love and not a spirit of judgment. God, and just put in our spirits, and when the Satan accuses us of things that have happened in our past, God, just remind us that failure is not final, that you're not mad at us, and that you'll see us through. I pray, God, that you would go in front of each person here, God, to lead their way the rest of this week. God, that you would go behind them to protect them and beside them as their friend. We thank you right now for doors of promotion that you're opening, God, in our lives, and we thank you for doors of protection that you're closing. More than all, God, we thank you that while we were still sinners, you sent your Son to die for our sins. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.